Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. It's the evening of the second day. Kaf Vav B'Tamuz, Tafshin Ayin Hey, Parashas Matos Masei, the evening of the first day, Sunday, 12 July 2015, webcasting from the center of history. Or so it seems sometimes. Like today, when late in the day the news was of an agreement in Vienna, about to be signed by the P5 plus 1 states and Muslim Iran, arguably the Nazi Germany of the day, for its imperial dreams and lunatic hatred of Jews, and for being public enemy number one in the international arena as the major instigator of terrorist atrocities. Iran, let us remember, was central to George Bush, 43, axis of evil, and remains a criminal state. Yet here are these supposedly civilized law-abiding societies trying to make a deal with Iran. Sort of like making a deal with the Mafia or Adolf Hitler in Munich in 1938. What is the point of this behavior, which is as bizarre as any in Lewis Carroll's Wonderland? To repeat, its most important characteristic between Nazi Germany and Iran today is this shared lunatic hatred of Jews. Yesterday was Al-Quds Day in Iran, during which millions of Iranians barked death to Israel, death to America, as America in Vienna simultaneously sat across the table from the foreign minister of Iran, and they were all smiles as America continued to retreat. Oh, Obama, I believe, has a borderline character disorder. He's a borderline cuckoo who 24/7 is always lying. It's a kind of schizoid existence. But as for John Kerry, I see him as another Hillary Clinton, deep well, bottomless pit, really, of ambition, only it's all ambition without content. He's another empty suit who looks the part and sounds the part of the patrician statesman, but if he truly were concerned for his country, he would not be sitting in Vienna smiling at Zarif, Foreign Minister of Iran, but calling for war with this country. None other than the liberal two-stater Michael Oren has written of Obama's betrayal of his repeated statements that military force was a possibility, and then last month telling Israeli TV that there is no military option. And where is Kerry in all this? This reversal of policy in another man by the president might prompt this Secretary of State to resign. It's happened before. But evidently this cluck, John Kerry, plows ahead as ordered by his master in these serial retreats. Obama, I truly believe, is driven by hatred of the U.S., this so-called convert to Christianity in which his pastor preaches goddamn America. This character Obama has been playing PR agent for Islam and the Iranians since his first inaugural address. His first phone call as president was to the Holocaust-denying Arab criminal Mahmoud Abbas. His first interview was with an Arab newspaper. 2.5 months into his term, he crossed paths with the king of the country that is the birthplace of Iran, and he bowed obsequiously to him, king of the country where 15 of the 19 Sky Devils, 8 years earlier, had been raised and educated. These were his subjects. The Muslims made fresh waves last winter by chopping off heads in front of the camera, and he sees it, Obama does, as his job to explain and defend Islam to his fellow Americans and chastise them for descending from crusaders. He sees it as his job to defend Islam from American hostility and not defend Americans from Muslim aggression. With John Kerry, though, I'm not so sure. He launched himself onto the public stage in the early 1970s as a rebel, as a decorated war hero in Vietnam who was disgusted with the behavior of his fellow soldiers, those war criminals, as he dramatically threw his medals over the White House fence. And I thought, when I remembered that news story, this is a publicity hound. He just wants attention. And it turned out I was right. It turned out his time in Vietnam was less than what he advertised. His medals were largely phony. He arrived in that country with movie cameras to give to others so they could film him in action, thinking of his future political career. He was open about his desire to be the next JFK. In a way, he is a spiritual clone of Bill Clinton, who also idolized Kennedy. John Forbes Kerry was even known to joke that he had the same initials as John Fitzgerald Kennedy, and therefore he was going to be president too. About the time he threw his medals over the White House fence, as he was about to testify in Congress against the war, he flew off to Paris for a little freelance, unauthorized diplomacy with the enemy, the Viet Cong. I see him like Hillary and like Bill, her husband, like our whole baby boomer generation. These empty suits, full of ambition to make it, but once on the job, don't have any real task in mind for the good of the country. So in Vienna, I think this empty suit Kerry is just playing the role with no real grasp of the situation. If he were an American patriot, an American Secretary of State, I think he should see that Iran is a mortal threat to America, apart from its diabolical thirst for Jewish blood, and that he doesn't, shows he's a fool. Since 1979, the regime in Tehran has staged massive anti-American political demonstrations in which the mob shouts death to America. This regime has launched terrorists to kill hundreds of American servicemen. This regime invented a new religious holiday in which millions of people are encouraged by their Muslim priests who rule the country to scream death to Israel. But there sits the American Secretary of State, who should want to cripple Iran, not to sit across the table and smile at his counterpart, Iran's Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif, and engage with him in polite dialogue, diplomatic smiles and all. What Kerry is doing is the opposite of defeating, crippling Iran. He's strengthening it, as per Obama's orders. Versus Obama again, I think Kerry's an idiot. Obama, I have no doubt, does not like America. His pastor, his spiritual guide, Reverend Wright, hates it too. His tutor as a young man, the communist newspaper editor Frank Marshall Davis, hated America. Muslims like Obama's father and his stepfather hated America. Muslims hate America. With Kerry, I think, though, it's just the path to success that he cares about, prestige that drives him. I think John Kerry is just too shallow to hate the Jews as much as Obama does. Yesterday in Tehran, El Supremo Ayatollah Khamenei addressed his countrymen on their holy day and told them America was the epitome of arrogance, as his countrymen yesterday burned American and Israeli flags. And make no mistake, much of the hatred for America stems from its unique support of Israel, which is virtually unique in the world. This drives Muslims crazy with envy, with its echoes of Avraham expelling Ishmael from his tents, sending him away with his mother back to Egypt, not the favorite son. It drives the Muslims crazy that the Israelites are the seed of the favorite son and not the Ishmaelites. Avraham ordered Ishmael and mother to leave. They go, and Ishmael gets hysterical and profligate with the water, which soon runs out, and then his mother abandons him to his suffering. This is one unhappy teenager, this wild ass of a man. Online you can find the Hamas Founding Covenant of 1988, and within the first few lines, the Muslim brothers in Gaza were boasting that believers were the true favorite people of Allah. Muslims suffer from a boiling cauldron of homicidal envy toward the Jews. Our very presence here is experienced as a humiliation, a defeat for Islam that must be reversed. The Quran is quite clear in its views of Jews who must be oppressed and humiliated, and that's how it was for more than 1,000 years. In Kerry's defense, I would say, because he is an American provincial, he has no real frame of reference for these Iranians, for these Muslims, who are as crazy about Jews today as German Nazis were last century. I don't think John Kerry has the intellectual and spiritual equipment to face that reality. Versus Obama, who in his Muslim arrogance last January was the only leader of the Western democracies who refused to fly to Paris to protest the slaughters there committed by Muslims, to participate in that largest political demonstration in human history. Obama could not bring himself to criticize Islam, which his presence would signify. His performance in January was therefore a variation on the theme of his insane Fort Hood denial of a role for Islam in that incident of carnage.
Ani ma'amin be'emunah shlema. בביאת המשיח אני מאמין. ואף על פי שיתמהמה עם כל זה אחכה לו בכל יום שיבוא. ואף על פי שיתמהמה עם כל זה אחכה לו בכל יום שיבוא. אני מאמין באמונה שלמה בביאת המשיח. אני מאמין. ואף על פי שיתמהמה עם כל זה אחכה לו בכל יום שיבוא. ואף על פי שיתמהמה עם כל זה אחכה לו בכל יום שיבוא. ואף על פי שיתמהמה עם כל זה אחכה לו בכל יום שיבוא. ואף על פי שיתמהמה עם כל זה אחכה לו בכל יום שיבוא. ואף על פי שיתמהמה עם כל זה אחכה לו בכל יום שיבוא.
So if in the previous segment I entertained the idea of John Kerry as a provincial who cannot see just how different Middle Eastern Muslims are in their thinking and behavior, the same might be said in defense of Dr. Joseph Bailyn, PhD, the famous political scientist who engineered the Oslo peace process, which brought no peace, only massacres, atrocities, murder, and mayhem. Over the weekend, the news outlet, a pro-Arab website called Al Monitor, ran a piece by retired Haaretz columnist Akiva Eldar, who was as far left as any of their writers. He was an observer and still remains one, truly blinded in one eye, so to speak. All he can see are Arabs, the Palestinians, being victimized by Israel. And at no time did he ever take notice of the lunatic Muslim hatred of Jews. That is, all over the history of the relationship between the two peoples. Keeping busy in retirement, I guess, he posted some inside stuff on the toxic relationship now in the PA leadership between Abbas and old rival Mohammed Dahlan, but also Salam Fayyad and Yasser Abed Rabu. It seems that the famous scientist Bailyn posted on Al Monitor a stunning rebuke of Abbas, his erstwhile partner, for his recent sacking of Yasser Abed Rabu, for his association with Salam Fayyad, who Abbas fired a couple of years ago. It seems that Abed Rabu and Fayyad were working on a non-profit organization set up by Fayyad to rebuild infrastructure in the PA and probably skim a lot of money off of it. Bailyn was furious with his erstwhile partner Mahmoud Abbas for firing these two, quote, Palestinian statesmen noted as independent thinkers and loyal representatives of their people who were kicked out of the political establishment for no better reason than the whims of its autocratic leader. Close quote. Bailyn appealed to the international community to demand an explanation for his conduct from Abbas, close quote. Let's remember, too, that Balin famously, behind everyone's back at the handshake on the White House lawn, co-wrote another agreement with Abbas 2 years later, which was never implemented, but they worked together for years, proud of their accomplishment, the Balin-Abbas agreement. And after Ehud Barak ended the rule of the peace processors of the left in 2000, of those fools, Peres, Rabin, and Balin, and their pinhead assistants with the PhDs, Balin then partnered with Yasser Abed Rabu, and together they co-authored the Geneva Initiative, which, of course, when presented to the public, when finished, was shown as a major media event. It was nothing but warmed-over Oslo stuff. Yossi Balin is another provincial who grew up in a cocoon of like-minded post-Jewish socialists, his entire community being secular Israeli Jews, who, like Kerry, cannot or will not face the evil on the other side. He sees these guys as statesmen and patriots instead of gangsters who launch massacres of innocent people. And all of them have become, by the way, rich millionaires because, unlike Bill Gates and legions of entrepreneurs and startup guys who create wealth, these guys siphon off wealth from the rivers of foreign aid sent to the PA. Abbas, like Arafat, like all of them, built themselves plush mansions, I think in Abbas's case, even across the street from a UNWAR slum, shamelessly. These men are not statesmen, Yossi. They're outlaw murderers and grafters, extortionists, embezzlers. None of the Oslo engineers could see this, though. Like today in Vienna, the idea of negotiating with proven criminals who do not keep their side of a deal. So Oslo was signing a deal with the PLO criminals, many of whom, like Arafat, started out life in the Muslim Brotherhood. But the desire for peace was so great, a temptation, an agreement was made with these evil men. Also, the human foibles of cowardice and greed and Jew hatred play their part. The P5 plus one countries are just itching, champing at the bit to return to doing business with Iran. And their greed also makes cowards of them. And at some level of consciousness, they know they are toying with the lives of 6 million Jews. To read this report by Akiva Eldar, who during his tenure at Haaretz, I never read because he is such a one-dimensional mind, boring, about Yossi Balin, he wrote how shocked he is now at the behavior of his former soul brother in peacemaking, Mahmoud Abbas, and upset that he has fired another former partner, Abed Rabu, with whom Balin toured world capitals to sell their peace plan, the Geneva Initiative. Yasser Abed Rabu, before he hitched his wagon to Arafat and his Fatah during the First Intifada, had been for years second in command under Nayef Khawatma in the DFLP terror operation, and that was the one behind the massacre of almost 24 Jewish children in Maalot. How Yossi Balin could spend time with this man has always been beyond me. I remember that May 15th, 1974. I was working the night shift in a Jerusalem mental hospital, and on my way to work in a bus, the news came over the loudspeaker, as usual, after a day of the hostage incident, and it was announced that the IDF failed to free the children, and announced the results, and all the people on the bus, strangers, started crying. Oslo was an abomination of associating with these monsters, these Hamitic murderers, in hope of making peace with them. It was an abomination morally, but no less intellectually. When did Jews get so stupid as Rabin, Peres, and Balin and their community of delusionists to work with these people? Who are these peace freaks? Here is this latest outburst by Balin evidently attacking Abbas, which I find more evidence that Yossi and his type have yet to judge this man and his type accurately. He's upset with him. Why? These are conscienceless Arab murderers and swindlers and grafters whose stock in trade is lying about Jews and becoming rich in the process.
Hi-yi. Hi-yi.
עבדך באמת, והנחילנו השם אלוקינו באהבה וברצון. שבת קודשך וינוחו בם כל ישראל, מקדשי שמך. ניי 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 Ta na 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 Ta na 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 Vetaher li beinu Leovdecha be'emet Vehanchileinu Hashem Elokeinu Be'ahava uveratzon שבת קודשך וינוחו בם כל ישראל מקדשי שמך.
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. Today in the Knesset, M.K. Sharon Gal, in the Jewish Home Party, he's a former radio journalist, introduced a bill calling for the death penalty for terrorists. But the Prime Minister, using a political maneuver, put the kibosh on that initiative and called for a committee to study the question for months to come. One can only speculate on Bibi's motives. I think it has been a major mistake of the State of Israel to turn its nose up at capital punishment since day one, following the enlightened attitude in our time. I think it's been a big mistake, a big Jewish mistake. The Torah is clear about the institution of capital punishment, and that makes perfect sense. If it's all right in the heat of a terrorist attack by two Arabians to kill one and capture the other who behaved exactly as the first one who was killed, it's right after sober judgment and procedures to kill him too, execute him. If it's right for soldiers in war to kill innocent foreigners in uniforms on a battlefield, it's right to take the life of a guilty murderer in civilian life. Paradoxically, capital punishment is the proper response to the most unforgivable crime that men and women commit, murdering one another. It's a paradox, for some think, oh, if it's wrong to murder, it's wrong for the state to kill the murderer. No, it's not. It is paradoxically the only way to honor the sanctity of life. You unjustly deprive another person of his life, the penalty is the loss of your life. Life in prison is not the proper response. Even in prison, life has its pleasures. There's time to read a book on a hot day. You can drink a glass of cold water. You might witness a sunset through the bars of your window. Life in prison is also actually in practice quite rare. People get paroled. And as such, it's a dishonest punishment implemented in our time. And so since day one of the State of Israel, its post-Jewish, fashion-conscious, politically correct leftist ruling elite has opposed capital punishment, making an exception for Adolf Eichmann. I also think it's not a coincidence that in the same time and same place in the States in the early 1970s, when capital punishment was declared by the Supreme Court unconstitutional in practice, and at the same time the court ruled that abortion was no longer illegal. In the one case, taking a life as punishment was ruled out of bounds, while taking the life of a growing human being innocent in the womb for no good reason became kosher. Intrauterine infanticide, since then, has ended life for tens of millions of human beings and surely accounts for the demographic reports according to which the founding communities in America of mostly European Christians and Jews are dying They're not reproducing themselves. The same goes for Europe. As to why the Prime Minister today put a stop to the initiative, one can only guess. I suspect he feels all focus must be on Iran and what is about to happen or not happen, and wrestling with that issue at this time would be a distraction and give ammunition to our enlightened BDS types to smear us further. In addition to being a racist country, we are so politically backward, we are reinstating the death penalty. As of this evening, it sounds as if Kerry and associates will produce a pseudo-agreement with loopholes and caveats and unfulfilled conditions to make it seem an agreement has been reached, when in fact it has not. In any case, the issue then goes to Congress, and if the Democrats remain loyal to their villainous standard-bearer in the White House, it will be a brave new world.
Yedid nefesh ahav harachaman meshoch avdecha el retzonecha Yarutz avdecha kemo ayal yishtachave el mul hadarecha Yerav lo yedidotecha minofet tzuf v'chol tam Hadur nae ziv haolam Nafshi cholat ahavatecha Ana kelna hoi refana la Beharot la noam zivecha אז תתחזק ותתרפא והייתה לה שמחת עולם ועתיק ועתיק ימון הרחמך וחוסנה על בן אהובך כי זה כמה נחשוף נחשפתי לראות מהרה בתפארת עוזך אלה חמדה חמדה ליבי וחוסנה ואל תתעלם היגלה היגלנה ופרוס חביבי עליי את סוכת, את סוכת שלומך תאיר ארץ מכבודך נגילה ונשמחה בך מהר אהוב כיווה מועד וחוננו כימי עולם וחוננו כימי עולם נאי נא נא נא
The last item, Israel Hayom newspaper today reported on Governor Mike Huckabee campaigning for president, resurrecting that old infamous political TV ad in 1964, the Daisy commercial, in which the Democrats insinuated a vote for Barry Goldwater, the extremist, would lead to a nuclear war. Now Mike Huckabee is using it to send the message that the impending Iran deal will threaten us in Israel with being nuked and then the United States with being nuked. If words have meaning and the Iranians are to be taken at their word, as the Nazis should have been, then who can argue with Mike Huckabee? I guess he's fishing for the allegedly 50 million evangelicals. He is himself, I think, an ordained minister, who have become ardent supporters of Israel, for backers of his campaign. Well, we shall see. Only time will tell. Laila tov, Meretz Yisrael.